expectation. And of course, I'll continue on. This will be the pursuit of expectation, part 25. But I don't know, maybe not a little different twist, but I know there'll be a lot of, well, there already is, a lot of advertisements and things about the Christmas spirit and all that other stuff. But, you know, for me, other than it being more expensive this time of year, it's no different. And that don't mean I'm a Scrooge, but that means I don't get into the spirit of Christmas. The spirit of Christmas is in me. And it don't leave. And I'm just telling you guys, I don't, you know, I appreciate people being nicer this time of year or whatever, but it's just different. The Lord is so good. I'm just telling you. I'm going to, you know, we've talked about this Jericho, and you know, we've understood Jericho's a walled city. It's different. The walls of Jericho are different than the walls of Jerusalem. And we read that it was a barren place, had no fruit, the water was bad. So I'm going to read you some scriptures here because I know it's about Christ, but I like to bring it right over into where we are. Because I'm always thinking, and of course I do this with about anything, how does this affect me? And is that the way y'all do? I mean, is that not how people go out to elections and vote for presidents and town councils and everything else? How is this going to affect me? So when I read these scriptures, you know, I'm looking for Christ, but then I'm also wondering, how is this going to affect me? And it does. It does. Luke 10. Y'all going to say, this ain't the Christmas story. This is the Jesus story. Luke 10:22. Now this is Jesus talking, because I've got it highlighted in yellow. You might. I just made that a sarcastic comment to the red letter. I got a red letter at home, but this is yellow letter. All things are delivered to me of my Father. Now, sometimes when you read, you got to go slow. He said all things. I wonder what he's talking about. Is that most things? Some things? I'm going to give you a lot of stuff, Jesus, and I'm going to save some for everybody else. All things are delivered to me. Now, how did he get them? Of my Father. And no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father. And who the Father is but the Son. And he to whom the Son will reveal him. Guys, I'm going to tell you what. There is a whole lot of scripture. Well, let me just say it this way. Every scripture in that Bible, it's about Jesus. And the more I read and the more I begin to see how much I have put myself in that. In his place. Or in there as something I got to do. Or something I got to keep or whatever. There's baby Jesus in a manger. No man knows who the Father is but the Son. And he to whom the Son will reveal him. Oh my goodness. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that see those things which ye see and have not seen, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Do you understand what he's saying here? Since the time, guys, I guess maybe Noah, but I mean, I'll bring this on up to Abraham, who looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. desired with so much to see what these guys were seeing. David knew he was king, but he knew that there was another that was set on his throne. He knew there was another greater than Solomon. All these guys, they looked for what's standing right here in front of them. I don't know if you get that or not, but you see, I mean, you know, like we talked about there Monday or something, here is Jesus standing there, and the whole crowd is seeing him, but to them, it's not what they were expecting. It's just a little pug dude from Nazareth over here, brought into the world illegitimately. We know Mary, you know, she wasn't really married. Joseph over there, out of the kindness of his heart, kept her. We know he was a, you know what kind of, you know what you call a kid that ain't got a dad, right? That's what they would say about him. And now he's standing right there before them, saying he's the king. He's the Messiah, the one they've been looking for. What do you think they're going to say? Now, I mean, if he would have pulled up in 20 limousines and rolled out the red carpet, they might have accepted him. But seeing it this way, it just wasn't. This wasn't all that. And then look what happens. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, "You know, I went. I don't know if you guys ever noticed, but." One thing, you guys never comment on my hair. I had my hair done Friday. I really did. Only guys laughing. I did. I got my own barber. Number three all overs. Me and Derek, we go to the same place. Yeah. But while I'm in there, and I don't know if you guys, I'm not talking a beauty salon, obviously. I'm talking a barber. But in man's barbershop, it's like Hardee's. That's where all the men gather to talk politics. Well, you know, eventually there's going to be some religious stuff come up. So I'm sitting there getting my hair cut, and some guy's in there talking, and he just blurts out, he said, "Y'all know that every doctor and every lawyer is going to hell. Says so in the Bible." I thought, I don't get into them conversations. He said, "Oh yeah, it says so in the Bible. Every doctor and every lawyer is going to hell." And he says, "Well, maybe not all of them. Maybe only a few make it in, but we ain't the judge. You know, we don't judge." You know, and you know, people just join into that conversation. I know, and you know, a guy's been asking me all week because I mean, here's what he hears all the time: "Judge not, lest you be judged." Well, I don't want to judge nobody. You know, and we go into these things all the time. Let me tell you what, I would like to, and you know, you can't answer these things in a sentence. That's why it takes so long to go through, because you have to lay foundation. It's like we want to build a house and we want to do it in one day. It just doesn't happen. There's foundation. There's things that has to be dug out. There's things that have to be removed. There's walls to put up. There's, you know, just electrical. There's all kinds of things in building a natural house, so you just can't give them a three-word sentence answer. It doesn't work that way. It's never going to work that way. Jesus talked about his house. "Upon this rock I will build my church." Build, that's an ongoing thing, adding to it. Right? But I throwed that out there because I'm thinking this is the mentality of so many people. Every doctor and every lawyer. He's not talking about a lawyer here that goes up into the court. And I just want to think that this lawyer meant he was educated in the law of Moses. He was a lawyer. This is what he did. He studied the scriptures. This is what this guy did. He studied the scriptures. And he stood up and tempted him being Jesus, saying, "Master." I mean, you see how he does this? He's like, "Okay, I understand you're a master. I'm going to give you that. I'm a lawyer, you're a master. What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now that is the Jews' way of saying, "How shall I be saved?" Isn't that the common thing today? How shall I be saved? What I got to do to be saved? Well, if you want to know, it's on a sign down at Rosedale on the left going west. 10 things you got to do to be saved. 10? Yeah, there's 10 of them. I thought, well, that's a little much. I'm looking for the sign that's got 3 of them. You know, for me, you know, which one are you going to do, right? The 10 or the 3? What must I do to inherit? Because that was the Jews thinking. Because they knew it was about eternal life. And that's the same thing for us saying, what shall I do to be saved? And Jesus answered him back and says, well, what's written in the law? How do you read it? What's written in the law? How do you read it? How do you understand it? And I love how Jesus turns the question right back around on it. You're asking me what I got to do to be saved. Well, you got the scriptures. You read the scriptures every day. You've been reading them every day since you could read. You've been reading them and writing them and writing them and reading them. That's what they did. So how do you read it? So here is the lawyer, who's always right, answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. Got that one. And thy neighbors thyself. And Jesus answered and says, you've answered right. This do, and you shall live. Yep. And I thought there was 613 laws I had to keep up, 10 commandments, do all these other things. And you tell me, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind. Got that one. I probably love God more than anybody else here. I don't know about y'all. I do. I mean, I just, every moment, I'm always thinking about him and all that. That's Second Life told us more than that. Thou shalt not lie. That's, you know. All right, I've told 2 lies. I told the truth on that. Do you see what I'm talking about, guys? How many people will just go out there and tell people, and that's one of the signs down there, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind. Let me tell you something, guys. When the Lord came into my life, I wasn't loving him, Jeff. I wasn't looking for him. He just busted in, kicked the doors down, and there I was. And, you know, most of the times he shows up in the dark because men love the darkness because their deeds are evil, and he shows up right into the dark and breaks in a marvelous light, and there you are. He busts right in and loves you on the anyway. I mean, I can't explain it. I don't know. I thought it was my love for him, but no, John corrects us on that. Now he said, we love God, and all he first loved us. I better get this order right, you know. God, if you're looking for somebody, here I am. But look what he says here. And he answered, this do, thou shalt live. Now remember, this is written before the cross, right? This is written before the cross. Jesus knows there's going to be a great judgment that's coming up on the earth. I mean, he tells us in John, now is the judgment of the world. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. But he says that in John 12. You can go read it yourself. Now is the judgment of this world. And Jesus is telling this guy, okay, if you want to do this, if you want to live, here's how you're going to make it through this judgment. Love the Lord thy God with all the heart, soul, strength, and mind. God says, got this. Love the neighbor as yourself. All right. Well, now here comes the lawyer in his little brainiac mind thinking, I know how this Jesus guy is. He's very, very good. So I need to be very good back to catch him in his words. So, let me just throw this right back at you, Jesus. Remember, he done this whole thing tempting him. Look what he says. But he willing to justify himself, wishing to show himself righteous. Isn't that something? Willing to justify himself. You guys ever talk to anybody who's willing to justify themselves? Willing to show themselves righteous? You know how many times I've done that? I mean, have you ever thrown your credentials out at somebody just a little bit? Well, you know, brother, I've been going to church for 23 years. Willing to show themselves righteous. You know what Paul would say? Why boast? I mean, what are you boasting in? What do you have to boast in? that you was a messed up mess of all messes in a mess? That's about the only boast you got. But he, willing to justify himself, and I, you know, sometimes when I begin to hear these things, I don't know, it makes me puke, and it makes me puke because I go back and I look at how many times I've justified myself. Well, the reason I did that's because, do you know how many people in this world go around living that way? Well, the reason I'm so hateful is because Johnny over here, or I had a bad wife, or I had a bad husband, or I had bad this, so I lost this and got this. And the reason he willing to justify himself, the reason my life is like this is because, or as the, you know, the other saying, when I get to heaven, you know, I'm going to have a great big mansion because I've done a whole lot and I witnessed everybody. And you know, soon as you're saved, you need to go out and start witnessing to people. You know, one little note on that. You know, the script says you'll be a witness. You know what that means? It don't mean you go do witnesses. That means you are one. Your very life is evidence of another. You know? I mean, that's what it means to just... It's so different, guys. It would be like this. Let me just break this down into terms. And I don't mean this in a bad way. But let's just say that you were in a town in Hong Kong. Let's say you're in Hong Kong. There's a billion Chinese in Hong Kong. Everybody in that town is Chinese, except for you. When you walk into that town, you would be a witness of America just because of who you are. Your look, your actions, everything. You don't have to do anything. You just be. That's what he said. You'll be a witness. You'll walk around. Even though they say, well, look, it's Clyde. I know Clyde's from Berwyn. He don't look any different to me, but hey, he'll be a witness. You see, this do and thou shalt live. He said it to Jesus. Who is my neighbor? Jesus answered. He willing to justify himself. Let me say this. You'll find all those who want to justify himself living in a town called Jericho. Jericho, the walled city. No fruit. Bad water. Everybody who wants to justify himself and all these other things, guys, they live in Jericho. Now, people may be preaching Jerusalem, but we've read there's an earthly Jerusalem, there's a heavenly Jerusalem. And this earthly Jerusalem, it's got another name, and I'm just telling you what, it's Jericho, and it's got to go. I've been telling you week after week after week, Jericho must fall. Jericho's got to go. To our boast is in nothing but the Lord. Now, look what he says. And Jesus said, because the guy asked him the question, who is my neighbor? Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem. Let me just read a couple verses here. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, was stripped of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. You guys know this story. This is the story of the Good Samaritan. I ain't telling y'all nothing you don't already know. Guys, how have you ever heard this thing preached? I mean, come on. Who are you in this story? I mean, we know we got a... By chance, there came a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed on by the other side. Likewise, a Levite. And he looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan journey came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He went bound up with wounds, pouring oil and wine, set him on his own beast, and brought him into an inn and took care of him. Who are you in the story? I'm just asking, guys. When you read this story, you're going to find a place in this story. Now, I guarantee you, every one of y'all is either the guy that got beat up or the Good Samaritan. Ain't you? Oh, and maybe on a good repentance day, you might be one of the Levites or something that walked by. flipped a quarter over his way or something, you know. I'm just saying, you guys know this, right? So which one are you in that story? And I'll go around the room and ask you, and you're going to pick one of the two, ain't you? You're the guy that got beat up or the Good Samaritan. Guys, you really believe me when I say that the scriptures are about Jesus? I'm just asking you, do you really believe they're about Jesus? And you remember, guys, that here is Jerusalem. Now look where this guy left. He left Jerusalem. Now, guys, we got to understand this is from God's view. And where is Jerusalem? Jerusalem above is free and the mother of us all. And who was the only one who came down from heaven? The Son of Man is the only one who came down from heaven. And when he came down from heaven, where did he go? He went right into this place called Jericho. He did. In this city that we had built, in this walled religious outpost, whatever you want to call it, where we had been doing our religious duties our whole life. But as he came down, what happened to Jesus? He was wounded. Was he not wounded for our transgressions? Was he not stripped of his raiment? And did he not fall amongst thieves? Any who came any other way are as thieves and robbers. Did he not? Can you see now who this guy is? This is Jesus coming down from God out of heaven, coming right down into a dark world amongst thieves and robbers, right into the city. I told you, Jericho's got to go. You remember what Jesus would tell him, the parable of the vineyard? The vineyard was his. Remember how we started out? All things are delivered to me of my Father. He said a certain man had a certain householder had a vineyard, didn't he? He sent his servants down to that vineyard. He sent Isaiah down to that vineyard. Ezekiel down to that vineyard. Jeremiah down to that vineyard. David, Solomon down to that vineyard. And each time, the keepers of the vineyard did what? They beat the servants. Until when the Son became, and they said, he's the heir, he's the one that's claiming all this stuff, that all things are delivered to me of my Father, he's the one, let's kill the Son and take the vineyard for ourselves. Is that not what a thief and a robber does? Is that not what, and listen guys, we have all done that because we have all tempted to justify ourselves. He willing to justify, every time we've done that, we have become a robber and a thief to the glory of God. We're all guilty. Paul tells us we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us is this robber and this thief. Jesus goes down in our religious aisles. We pass by on this side. We pass by on this side. Just like the disciples did when they saw Jesus beaten and mocked. They stood by the fire and watched afar off. When they hung him up on the tree and crucified him, they all left. They were gone, scattered. Who was there to help? Who was there to help? None. Except the Good Samaritan. Now, who is this Good Samaritan, I'm wondering? Now you're beginning to see that I ain't got no part in this story but the thief and the robber. I wonder who it was that raised his son up from the dead. I wonder who it was when God worked his mighty power when he raised him out from the dead. Can you see? Now who is your neighbor? Ah, and what did he say? The one who showed mercy is your neighbor. My God, this whole thing is about God and about his blessed Son. The whole thing. Can you see what I'm talking about? Who is my neighbor? The one who showed mercy. Let me show you something. Let me just show you a couple things. Guys, I only had two little pages here. Let me show you something in Corinthians. Let me show you something here. That's 1 Corinthians. Have you guys read in these scriptures where he says, keep my commandments? You know, well, it's all through scriptures. Keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. Isn't that what we do today? Keep my commandments, and we add grace onto it. So everything's about keeping my commandments. Keeping my commandments. Keep my commandments. Chapter 7, verse 19. Circumcision is nothing. Now, this was part of their covenant. Circumcision is nothing. Now, if I say that's nothing, what does that mean to you? It's nothing. I mean, that's pretty plain and simple. Circumcision is nothing. In other words, making an outward manifestation, an outward doing is nothing. I'm part of this covenant, whatever. And uncircumcision is nothing. But the keeping of the commandments of God. Now, here we go. Here we go. We look at this scripture and we say, okay, now, guys, let me tell you the way it is. You don't have to be circumcised anymore, but this verse says, thou shalt must keep thou commandments. Right? Because I just read it to you. So, in other words, this is good because now this involves us, Gentiles. So now it ain't only about Jews, but it's about Gentiles too. And now we don't have to be circumcised anymore. We just got to keep God's commandment. All right. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Got that one. Love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, got that one. Thou shalt not covet. And I ain't too good on that one right there because, you know, I see some other stuff people's got I don't want. You know. Thou shalt not lie. Y'all know I blow that one out of the water. Doesn't hold two this morning. Thou shalt not steal. I stole some cookies. Thou shalt confess thou stole cookies. You see? Now look at the next verse. He said, but keeping the commandments of God, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Abide in the same calling. Now, what is this calling, guys? So I've got now to keep his commandments. But he said, now abide in the same calling. We read this the other day. I'm still in 1 Corinthians. I'm just going to flip back to chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you see this calling that you're called to, calling into this fellowship? Let me show you something else here. I know you're thinking, why is he going all over the place? Well, let me show you something here in John. Now, remember I told you this Jericho was a barren city. John 15. Now, Jesus is talking about, I'm the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Skip down to verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified. Here is how my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. All right, so now I'm back in and I got to go bear fruit, right? I got to go do something to bear fruit. Now, how am I going to do that? I go back to Corinthians. I got to keep his commandments, right? Now, guys, this is what we do, every one of us, putting ourselves in these stories. Putting ourselves as the main object. Because I told you guys, every one of you in that Good Samaritan story was the guy who got beat up. And if you're the guy who got beat up, and I just told you that was Jesus Christ, you're putting yourself in his place. That's what we do. It's just like Raven said, it's like these things cast a shadow. And what we do is we lay down in the shadow and try to fill up the shadow. There's only one who can fill up the shadow, and that's the one who's casting it, the one who's the very substance of it. Do you see what I'm talking about? So here he is. Here's how my Father's glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. And as the Father hath loved me, so I've loved you. Continue in my word. Now look, he said, it says, my Father's loved me, so I love you. Continue ye in my word. If you keep my commandments. Ah, here we go again. This is the second time I done read, keep my commandments. Ye shall abide in my love as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. If you keep my commandments, What do you think Jesus is saying? If you keep my commandments. Notice what he just said. He said, if you'll keep my commandments like I kept my Father's. He said, my Father's commandments, what he was doing when he was given the law was giving you a description of me. When I showed up, I'm the fulfillment of that. Now here's what I want you to do, to keep my commandments. Do you see, I kept my Father's commandments, not you. They wasn't for you, they wasn't about you. But now I want you to keep my commandments. But what does he say they are? Continue ye in my love. Look what he said was his commandments. Continue in my love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, what is that? Continue in my love. You shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's and abide in his love. You know what he was saying the whole time right there? Abide in my love. You know what he's saying? Abide in me. Abide in me. This is how you keep my commandments. Abide in me. Abide in me. Learn of me. Follow me. Abide in me. Learn of me. Then you'll keep my commandments. Look, this fellowship, because he said, if I've kept my Father's commandments, you go back over here into Genesis. You always got to do Genesis. You're never going to get away from it. Back here in Genesis, here's Abraham. Abraham called out of the land of Ur, called out of the land of the Chaldeans. He's called out. He comes out. He gets out here. You know what he says? He says, God, you know, I'm getting old, and I don't have an heir. There's no seed for my house. Look how he asked that question. I'm in Genesis. He says, and Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. Remember what Jesus said? He said, this guy here, Abraham, desired to see your day. Because Abraham, he knew who the seed, he's starting to see who the seed is. And he says, God, there's no seed for my house. You can't say that. You cannot say that. There's seed now. There's seed now. That seed lives in you. But Abraham is making a cry here. There's no seed for my house. There's no heir. Remember when Jesus said, all things are delivered to me. The heir has showed up. The seed has showed up. Abraham says, there's no seed. So he tells Abraham to make these sacrifices, cut them in half, and they'll pass through. And they'll pass through it as cutting the covenant. So Abraham gets these sacrifices, and he's keeping the birds away, and he's keeping all these things away. And then, lo and behold, the scripture says, the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a certainty that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. Wait a minute. Thy seed. Is seed singular or plural? Come on, English scholars. Thy seed is one. Yes. Shall be, look at the rest of that verse. Shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. Is that singular or plural? You tell me, guys. It's plural, isn't it? How could one seed now become plural? Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Can you see the increase going on right here? Can you see the increase going on? He's already seeing it. Now, what does Abraham see? Abraham is falling asleep over here, and in a trance he sees, well, the sun went down and it was dark, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp passed between the pieces. The covenant between the smoking furnace and the burning lamp. Where is Abraham, guys? Is he passing between the pieces? No. He's not. The Father and the Son is passing between the pieces. There's a covenant, a fellowship between the Father and the Son, and Abraham is watching this. Now remember, Abraham's question is, there's no seed for the house. And he sees the covenant. You know what he's seeing here, guys? He's seeing the cross. He's seeing the sacrifice is cut in half. He's seeing the blood. He's seeing the cross. He's seeing at the cross a covenant being made between the Father and the Son. He's seeing the birthright that we talked about earlier, the very birthright that Abraham says, you know what? This servant that I have in the house, this Ishmael, Clyde, ain't part of this. I need one that's going to take over and be a seed. He said, I'm going to make a covenant with thy seed. Not seeds as many, but seeds as one. Abraham begins to see this. And then after he sees them passing through, what does he say? And in the same day, the Lord made covenant with Abram, saying, now this was his covenant with Abram. This was his covenant. And to thy seed have I given this land. Look what he said to Abram. He said, Abram, I'm going to make a covenant with you. And to the seed, I'm going to give all this stuff. He didn't say, I'm going to give it to you, Abraham. I'm giving it to thy seed. Yeah. Now, thy seed is in covenant with the Father. Thy seed is the inheritor of all.
Yes.
Can you see all that? Thy seed. Sometimes I wish I had a better vocabulary that I could bring all this stuff out. Thy seed. Let me show you something here. You remember, we read these scriptures. A certain man is traveling between two cities. Let me give you this. Let me give you this verse in Deuteronomy. Just one quick one. And then I'm going to go back and read a little bit. We'll be done. Deuteronomy 7. I told you the one that had mercy. The one that had mercy. Deuteronomy 7 and 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God. The faithful God. Now notice he's God and he's faithful, which keepeth covenant and mercy. Who does he keep covenant with? Thy seed. With them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Now guys, who is it that kept the commandments? Was it you? Was it ever anyone other than Christ? So who does he keep the covenant with to 1,000 generation, meaning forever and ever and ever? It's the ones that he loves, the ones that kept his commandments. Guys, that's only one. The same one Abraham is seeing right here. To thy seed shall all the blessings. So how does this affect me? Remember, the covenant is with the seed. The Jews thought it was about them. We in our religious mind living in Jericho have always thought it was about us. But let me show you something here, guys. Let me just show you now. Now, if you go back to Romans, because I get asked these questions a lot. You go back to Romans. Now look at this. And this is how God justifies predestination. God had to predestinate some people, you know. Because what happens if nobody believes? Let me just tell you something here. Remember what we read in Corinthians? What does circumcision avail anything? Circumcision is nothing. Uncircumcision is nothing. Romans 3, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Paul goes on to say, I'm in Romans 3, much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. In other words, God looked at the Jews and says, you are going to be my type and shadow. You're going to be witnesses. You're going to be the people that I deal with as a testimony of my Son for the world to see. When they see you, they're going to see me. In this tabernacle and sacrifices and all these things. Well, you know what the Jews did? They didn't know they were supposed to be a witness to the whole world. So they built them a walled city. And you know what they said? They said, Olagay, you're not a Jew. Sorry, you can't come. You know, Derek, you're a Samaritan. I'm sorry, bud, you can't be here. This is all for us because we're it. We are God's people. We're God's chosen people. We're the best of the best of the best. That's why this guy tempted Jesus, said, okay, who is my neighbor? Because all the Jews said, well, the only neighbors we have is our other Jews. And we don't have no fellowship with the Gentiles. That's why Paul had to get on to Peter, because Peter was of that same mindset. He was eating with Gentiles until his brother Jew showed up. When his brother Jew showed up, he jumped up from the table and says, how dare you be at my table? And he runs out. Paul says, oh, let me tell you something, big guy. Circumcision don't mean nothing. Uncircumcision don't mean nothing, because there was a judgment that come. And this judgment says, look, this is what Jesus told this guy. If you do my commandments and you love God, you can live. But if not, you're going to meet the same judgment as everybody else. Do you see? Now he says in verse 3, for what if some did not believe? Didn't he hear the question? He says, okay, you want to challenge me? Let me just tell you how good and faithful God is, who keeps covenant to 1,000 generations with his son. Do you think it's got anything to do with your belief? He says, what if some don't believe? Do you think that matters? He says, what if some do not believe? Shall the unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Listen to what he says. Do you think it's about your belief? Do you think you can do anything about the faith of God? Now look, who has he got faith with? Who is he in covenant with? He's in covenant with his son. It doesn't matter if you believe or if you don't believe, if you flip-flop or don't flip-flop. He's in covenant with his son. He's in covenant with our seed. So now, you know where we got to go. We got to go over here to Galatians real quick. Galatians 3. Galatians 3. But no man, I'm in verse 11, is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident. Look, I love how he says it. This is evident. Nobody is justified in the sight of God. It's evident. For the just shall live by faith. Oh, wait a minute. Can your unbelief make the faith of God of no effect? But the just shall live by faith. So now, Elaine, I got to go out and have faith. Well, sometimes I have a lot of faith. Sometimes I ain't got no faith. You think that's the faith he's talking about? We're talking about the faith of God here. You shall live by that faith. His faith. It ain't got nothing to do with your faith. He's trying to get you to get rid of your faith, because your faith has been suspect from the get-go. He made a covenant with his son. It's evident. Now look, let's go on to read. The law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. You know what Jericho means? Jericho means it's a curse. It's a curse. He said, cursed is the man who builds this city and lays the foundation in his son. Joshua said that when the walls fell down. He said, this is a cursed city. Jesus became a curse for us. And where we read about it, he was headed. He headed right down towards Jericho. We read it, didn't we? We read it. Now remember, we're looking at this faith, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. We read that all the way back in Genesis. The blessings. And what was the blessings that were going to come on? In thy seed. In thy seed. Through Jesus Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now look, verse 22. The scripture hath concluded all under sin. Jesus Christ, now whose faith? The faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up into the faith, which should be afterwards revealed. Do you see that? He says, before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up. Before faith came. Do you mean the Jews don't have no faith? Guys, I'm telling you what, I ain't talking about a thing here. I'm not talking about a thing here. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Guys, do you realize what he just said right here? Can your unbelief make the faith of God of no effect? All right, he says, even under your faith, you've been under a schoolmaster. He says that we were doing all this stuff under schoolmasters, shut up under the law, but when faith came, who's he talking about? The faith of God. Who showed up as the faith of God? Jesus Christ is the faith of God. Now, when this faith of God showed up, we are no longer under the law. And God has sent forth the Spirit of that Son. Now listen, we thought it was us crying to have a Father. He has put that very Spirit, His faith, His Son, whom He keeps covenant with for 1,000 generations. He sent the Spirit of that Son into your heart, and the Spirit of that Son cries, Abba, Father. Can you see that, guys? It ain't got nothing to do with your faith, nothing to do with your belief, nothing to do with any of that. He is in you crying, Abba, Father. And the Father is having covenant with His blessed Son. Now, how have I loved you? I put my seed in you. I don't know, guys. That frees me up. That just frees me up because it ain't about me keeping commandments. Thank God it ain't about my faith. Because I'm going to tell you what, guys. My faith is as wishy-washy as it can be. My belief is wishy-washy. My worship is wishy-washy. Don't we got to feel like it before we worship? And don't we got to do all of this? And then every time that just brings more condemnation upon me because I'm trying to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm trying to love my neighbor. I don't even like my next door neighbor. Sometimes I don't like myself. I know I ain't loving God because I'm ticked off. Do you see? Thank God, that's why He cut a covenant with His Son. Now, let me just give you one last little tidbit of information. If He made a covenant with you, how long is that covenant good for? Guys, I'm sitting right here doing a wedding vows, and there's a little statement we make. Till death do us part. If He made a covenant with you, Derek, when you die, He don't have to keep covenant with you anymore. But He made a covenant with His blessed Son through death that cannot be annulled ever, no matter if you die or whether you don't die. And He says, I'm going to put that covenant in you, and I'm going to keep that covenant for 1,000 generations. Your mind can't even get around how long I'm going to keep my covenant with the man who lives in you. Now, if you will abide in me, that's what He said, abide in me. Why? That your joy might be full. And you know how the little Christmas story is. Peace on earth, goodwill. You know, I love that old song. Joy to the world. Why? The Lord is come. And where is He come? In you. Can you see that, guys? Can you see it? I'm going to just quit. I had other stuff I was going to read. Guys, let me say this. I'm just going to turn this thing off.
I watched this crazy movie. I should be telling y'all to watch this crazy movie. But it's something about the life of Walter Mitty.
The secret life.
And this guy lives he daydreams. He dreams about being a hero. He dreams of, you know, he's in love with a girl. He doesn't have the ability to talk to her. And, You know, he works in a dark room at Life Magazine looking over negatives and all this other stuff. And I'll tell you what, guys, I watched this movie, and you guys will think I'm crazy, but I watched it again, I watched it again, and I watched it again. I watched it about five times. I just played it in the background. But Friday night at 3:30 in the morning, I got up. And was just as awake, just like I was ready to go. And the Lord had woke me up. I'll tell you what, guys, the Lord had woke me up. And I know this may sound strange, guys, but he was putting some stuff in my heart. He was just showing me because, and then Tracy asked me a question yesterday. They had their little Christmas dinner. So we're sitting back there eating, and you can see people group off. Everywhere you go, don't people group off? And you can see, you know, who does all these things. It's the ladies, right? It's the ladies who put on everything and do all the work. Except up here, and I have to. Said throw that out there, didn't I? The Holy Ghost going, that's three. That's three lies you told it, hey? But anyway, she said, I wonder why it is that the women go to church and the men don't. She said, most of wherever you go, the women go, the men don't. And if they do go, they follow the women. And this is common all over. I mean, it's not, you know, I mean, it's a common thing. You don't, I mean, you see more women going than men. She said, why is that? And, you know, this kind of goes into line with The Secret Life of Walter Mitty and, then, you know, in my mind thinking about these other things. I said, you know what, I guess it's a different personality for a guy. But guys are a lot slower to give up. I mean, really, we are, guys. I mean, our personality is... And all the trouble Jesus had wasn't with... I mean, what woman in there gave him trouble? Really? What woman in there said crucify? It was the guys, because we want to be King Daddy Joe. We do. We want to rule our own life, and we'll call on you, Jesus, if we need a little help. Other than that, Jesus, you stay over there, and, you know, we'll do our own thing. And a woman is, I guess, just in nature, maybe they're a little bit more submissive, so they will submit to the Lord faster than a man will. Because a man realizes if I submit, I'm not in charge anymore. Right? And it's hard for a man to do that. But I'm telling you what, guys, whether you believe it or whether you don't, you're not in charge. And anytime you try to do that, you're a thief and a robber trying to crucify the Lord afresh. Because he is the owner of the vineyard. It's all about him. You have no boast in anything. And so I got to think, well, Lord, what's this have to do with this movie? And I looked, and this guy is climbing mountains. He's jumping out in the ocean and fighting sharks. And, you know, he's doing all them other things. And I said, here is guys. And here's what we do. We want a life of adventure. Right? We want to, I mean, I'm just talking guys. We want sports. We want mountain climbing. We want swimming. I mean, it's not today full. I mean, today's Sunday. It's supposed to be church day. But I guarantee you, when you go from 7 o'clock in the morning, sports reporters are on talking about sports, and they'll be going on to 11 o'clock at night when you turn on the news, and then you'll get a report of all the sporting events that took place all day. This is every Sunday for the whole time. So I thought, well, here is men who want to be a mountain climber. But who will come to Jesus when Jesus says, you want to climb a mountain? How about this Mount Zion? You want to go out there and climb that mountain? That mountain is easy. That mountain is nothing. But come over here into this and climb this mountain. You want romance? Have you ever heard of the book of Song of Solomon? You want romance? Man, I can give you romance like you've never heard. You want music? Who do you think wrote the Psalms? They speak of me. I am the singer of singers. You want fish? You want to go fish? Let me tell you about a little man named Jonah. I'm talking a fish that swallows people. You want to learn? You want to have adventure? You want to have fun? fun, you want to have joy, come unto me. Amen. I am all of these natural things out here are shadow. I am the mountain. I am the rock. I am the river. I am the tree. I am the fruit. I am the stars. I am the day star. I am the bright and morning. Do you see?
Amen.
Who will come to him? Guys, having a life in Jesus is not boring.
Yeah.
Men are afraid of that.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what, having a life in Jesus is the most exhilarating thing ever. I'm going to tell you what, guys, he has kept me up 4 days straight, and I wasn't even tired. He's kept me walking right in. And I'm telling you what, I'm just telling you a fact of the matter. 4 days later, I was up praising the Lord, and when the 4 days was over, you think I crashed? No. I just walked on, buddy. I'm talking why? Because eternal life don't get tired. Eternal life don't get wore out. It don't get old. I just walk right on in it. And I say, Lord, if that's why we've been calling this pursuit of expectation, what is your hope? Why do you come out here? That very life, Derek, lives in you. Just turn to see him who is the goodness of the Father. Turn our hearts to see him. I mean, that's all I care about. I want people to turn to see him. My God, Clyde told me yesterday, he told me this morning, the Lord showed him something. He cried out. You know what that means? He cried till he had no more tears. And they wasn't a one of them, a tear of sadness. He's jumping around the house like Isaiah. He's jumping around shouting, saying, the scriptures ain't about me, but God bless, I've seen the Lord. I've seen the Lord, and he rejoiced. And can you imagine when you jump around and they're not about you, but they're about him? And you see his glory, guys, if you just get this much seeing of his glory, you're done. It's over for you. You won't want to go do nothing else. You'll just want to see him. That's it. Grab a hold and hold on. Oh, Lord, listen. You guys, I'm commanding you to have a Merry Christmas. Anybody don't answer twice. Because Christmas lives in you.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Love y'all.
Thank you.
All right.
Praise
Amen.